You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
Hello, guys, and thanks for joining us for episode 16 of The Training Dummies. We are legal to drive. It is October 11th, 2012. I am Taylor. I play a druid tank named Hoofit. Joining me tonight is Rob, who I am pretty sure has abandoned his DK and is now on my gear loot table with his monk. Roadhouse. And also we've got Daryl, the resto shaman, who still sometimes shares my gear when he DPSs, and his shaman's name is Hend. It has been a crazy and busy week this week, so let's go ahead and see what have you guys been doing this week in the world of Warcraft. Roadhouse. No, this is gonna be hard to get used to. Rob, take it away.
Roadhouse. To be fair, I was on your token before when I was on the Death Knight, but now I'm just on the agility gear.
Now you just share all of my gear except the token.
Oh, wait, he's on my token now. That's so, right. We had this before.
I switched tokens, but I'm still taking.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. So.
Yeah, that tier stuff. I don't know. It's good stuff, man. I'm definitely having an absolute blast on the monk. I was reading on the forums earlier today, and it looked like the Wind Waker, Windwalker DPS spec isn't getting a whole lot of love. People are hating on it quite a bit, but I am having so much fun, and I'm pulling pretty decent numbers, and it's totally hitting the spot for me. So I'm loving it. Was able to get my eye level up and get into the Looking for Raid earlier this week on Tuesday when it opened up, and I was really hoping to get just a taste of the mechanics and get in and check it out. And we'll probably talk about this a little bit more later, but I got gear, but that's about all I got. I don't even know what happened past that point, but yeah, it's been really cool. Actually made some really good money off of some of the stuff I'm harvesting from the tillers.
You made money?
I know. I made probably close to 4 or 5 grand just off of some carrots from the...
That's probably the most money you've ever made in ever.
No, I got a 359 epic necklace back when Kata first dropped out of... What the heck is that one? It's not Vortex. It's one of the last three. The temple one.
Oh, probably like Grimbatol or something.
No, it was one of those, but I got a random epic drop and sold that for like 12k on the auction house one time. But yeah, this is a highlight week for me in terms of making money. The quests and the dailies are throwing money at you, and if you're smart at all with any of your drops or any of your mats, people are still really snatching those up. You know, a lot of the drop rates and spawn rates of stuff have been tapered back, so you're able to make some good money on that. But it's been really cool. I've been gearing up in heroics, having a lot of fun. I'm still working on geared up my off spec a little bit, and probably need to learn my off spec if that's how that's gonna go. But it's been fun. A lot of fun. A lot of stuff to do, lots of dailies. I've just decided to kind of take it slow and see, just do the dailies that I want to do. I got the red disc mount from the lore guys. What is it?
Lore
the
lore walkers.
Yep. I got that in about 40 minutes, 45 minutes or so. It's a little tip from WoW Insider. Picked up me and Avi went and got that. It was really easy, really fun. So, but enough about me. We'll talk about a lot of that stuff coming up, I'm sure. But, Hind, what are you up to? Something special happened?
I hit level 90. Yes, yeah. I hit level 90. What was
finally.
It? Tuesday Woo! Night at a folks. Little after midnight, so I guess early, early Wednesday morning. And finally got to do a heroic tonight, so I healed one of those. It went really well, so glad to be back into it. Glad to be healing dungeons again. I've kind of missed that. Haven't been leveling for the past couple of weeks as solely enhanced. So it was fun to get in there and do that again. Part of the reason it took me so long is I didn't even play at all on the weekend here. We had a long weekend, but I had company come up because it was Canadian Thanksgiving. So, but we did have a bacon covered turkey, so that made it all worthwhile.
Oh yeah, there you go.
but yeah, that's about it. I've been making money on the carrots as well, like you had mentioned. I think I sold them for 49 gold per carrot today, uncooked. Couldn't believe it when they actually sold. That's insane.
Hey, I don't know who 49. Who gave that advice an episode or two ago. I no idea, but probably Hen will take credit for it.
Would you say those were 49 karat gold?
Oh, jeez. You know what? I had a bad pun all lined up and ready to go. I'm not even going to bother now. Oh.
That's awesome. You go. awesome. But yeah, that's kind of how my week has been. I guess I hit 90 finally, and so I'm ready to go. I want to get back into dungeons, and that's what I'm planning for this weekend, is just heroic after heroic after heroic. I got to try them all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, glad to be there. Hoofit, what have you been doing besides making money hand over fist?
Well, I've been making money hand over fist. So I mentioned that when I was initially leveling Hoofit, I was 87, 86 or whatever, whenever I had actually ran across the Grand Expedition Yak vendor, I didn't hesitate. I just said, oop, there it is. I bought it right on the spot. Didn't even think twice about it. Nothing. Done deal. By this week, so what have we been playing? 3 weeks now in Mists? This is the third week, right?
Yeah.
I think
so.
Yep.
Sounds
right.
This is the 11th. It came out on the 25th. Yeah, about 3 weeks. Close.
All right. So I've been keeping
two,
an eye.
Two and a half. Yeah.
Two and a half.
Okay. Oh, only two and a half. Okay. So I've been keeping an eye, wondering, you know, how long is it going to take me to recuperate this 108,000 gold and this week, not today, it was actually earlier this week, I actually recouped the amount of gold that I had spent on the yak. And not only did I do that, but I exceeded the amount that I spent on it in terms of gold that I had made back. So as of, well, actually this note that I have written down here is out of date because I pulled in 7K more this afternoon. So to date, in the first 2.5 weeks, not counting the money that I spent obviously on the yak, but I have made 146,000 gold in 2.5 weeks.
Now show off.
Okay, well, now I know, okay, so we're not, you know, we're not like a gold making podcast or anything, but I just want to put it out there. I see so many people saying that they just can't make ends meet, Rob, and who's actually making money off of carrots now. But yeah, I didn't sacrifice a whole lot of time making this gold. You know, Hoofit's level 80 right now. As of right now, he is in item level 468. I've got another character that's about to hit 89, and a second character about to hit 86. Those are some profession alts that I've been running, and I've been leveling those. You know, I've got four or five maxed level professions, and I've been making sure that, you know, my tailor can make leg armor kits for the casters, and my leather worker can make leg armor kits for the melee, and my scribe can make shoulder enchants for everybody. Even if those aren't maxed out, I at least can make those for other people. You know, I've been spending time doing all this stuff. I've been doing reputations. I got today I got my cloud serpent. I didn't do any egg farming at all.
Oh, nice.
The eggs that you can loot that give you like bonus rep for, you know, when you can't do dailies. Didn't do any egg farming. What I did do, tell me what you do do. What I did was, in addition to the Cloud Serpent dailies, you can also do dailies for the professions. So if you have archaeology, fishing, cooking, and first aid, there are 4 extra dailies you can do every day. You know, the first aid one, you go bandage some little things. For fishing,
because there's not enough dailies already.
Right. But these are easy. And and the thing about it is, especially in the terms of fishing and archaeology, you have to go and do some digs, and every dig, it's guaranteed you get this item, and you have to get 6 of them, and there are 6 digs per zone. So you clear one zone, you get, you know, a group of fragments, and you get the daily items for the Cloud Serpents. So you level up a little bit of archaeology every single day, and it's not, you don't feel like you're grinding out archaeology, you know, even though it's not, I don't have archaeology maxed yet, but I'm getting really close, because I've been doing the archaeology daily every day with the Cloud Serpents. So all of those digs that I've been digging up to get the daily items, in addition to the normal archaeology stuff, you know, I've had enough fragments to solve things, and level up my archaeology a little bit along the way. With fishing, you got to fish up minnows, and you also have to fish up golden carp for the cooking. So while I'm fishing up minnows and fishing up golden carp, my fishing skill's leveling up. And it's all for another purpose. So I don't feel like I'm only, you know, grinding, leveling out fishing or archaeology. It serves another purpose in that it's helping me raise up the Cloud Serpent rep. So now I'm just around the corner to maxing those out, and I haven't really felt like I've had to grind them, because they were contributing to something else while I was doing them. But anyway, the whole point was, I made a crap load of money, and it took very little effort other than gathering stuff up, using Auctionator to list things, using Postal to grab my money out the mailbox in one click, and doing...
You can do that with the mobile app, too.
Oh, yeah, you can.
You can actually grab money on whatever tune you want, regardless of who sold it.
Yep.
Or that might not be right.
I'm not going to lie. I did use the mobile app quite often to list stuff, especially if I didn't want to wait 15 minutes for a hearth, I would... And I didn't feel like spending 3 minutes to fly somewhere. I would just log out, go list my stuff real quick, log back in, and
that's nice.
And go on about my business. But yeah, so that's been my week in World of Warcraft.
Not bad. Not bad at all.
All right. Well, Rob, how about you take this email? We've got a listener email, and it's pretty cool. Let's check it out.
I think this guy's a hosen.
Oh.
Because he starts off by saying, "It's fucking awesome. I have a job where I do lots of driving, and commercial radio gets old very fast, so I started listening to podcasts. I download all the available podcasts from iTunes, but they only seem to go back as far as episode 7, which actually is something that we need to figure out. I don't know what's going on with that. You can grab the episodes off the website too as well. You can manually get them there, but yeah, I don't know what's going on with iTunes. They seem to be missing 5-star reviews and a bunch of stuff right now, so it's a little weird. But he goes on to say, though I don't have as many alts as some of you have, I am working on 6 active characters, my priest main and 5 other 85s, as well as a 78 druid that I'm working on. Math is hard. That adds up to 7.
Hey, you know what? I think what he meant to say was he doesn't have as many alts as you.
Yeah. He's got more than me already.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, as long as he's got a couple, he's got more than you.
I have all the healing classes. I've got 4.
Oh, you need to get your monk up there, man.
Yeah, he's level 12 now, I think.
Well, I'm looking at doing another monk here, so.
You're crazy.
I know. It's ridiculous. Yep. We can have an intervention later if it's that bad. But. I found your discussion on binding similar spells to the same key binds, and I'm currently working through that. It's a bit of a pain, and I'm starting it with my main.
Ooh,
trying to try to intelligently macro spells together to save screen space and keep commonly used spells close at hand. One example I have is Shadow Word Death, Vampiric Touch, and Devouring Plague on one key bind with shift and control modifiers. And one thing I did was set the tooltip to show Devouring Plague so that I know when it procs. I'll be keeping the proc and cooldown spells as the icon to give me the visual clue so I know when things are ready. I've messed with macros before, but you have all have inspired me to get back to it. One thing I'd recommend is writing them in a Word document. That way you can easily modify them, keep backups, or copy them for future beta tests. One final note as a nod to the show, I've macroed slash trained to my warrior's charge hotkey. Woo woo! Chugga 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 chugga. And that is from Haldor from the Sentinels on Ravenhold, U.S.
Nice.
That the macroing train, I believe we all have our own variation of that, and it's usually some sort of emote where you say something and do the train macro, and people know when I'm tanking, they usually know when I'm about to pull because I do that in between big pulls, so... That's definitely an important one.
That's one of the reasons why I did it. I added an emote to my train macro, so my emote actually spells out, hoof it goes, woo, woo.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Yep, that is the cue. That's the cue that we're about to get dirty. And I love it. There was even some controversy on Twitter about, do we really do that? Yes, we do.
Absolutely, we do that. Yep. I'll give you a screenshot of my macro book. You can see it. It says train, and I use the same one on pretty much all my characters.
Hey, but that's a good point that Haldor brings up about putting your macros in a Word document or some kind of text document at all.
Mm-hmm.
If you're planning, if I'm not mistaken, if you... I don't know, if you server transfer or maybe it's if you race change, those macros get wiped out. Didn't somebody say whenever they factor?
Well, I know they're stored on the server. So
wait, did I say race change? Not race change. Either faction change or maybe it's a server transfer. One of the two, or maybe both. One of those, I know someone said it wiped out all of my macros. I have to rebuild all my macros from scratch, copy and paste, or whatever.
I've done a couple server transfers, and I don't know. It may be faction transfers. It may have been a glitch. I don't know. But regardless, it's still a good idea to keep them somewhere if you like them.
It's true. If your guild has a forums or something, that's a nice place to put them because then maybe other people in your guild can copy and paste and use similar ones. And it's also good, maybe there's something funky in your macro that someone else says, hey, you know what, you can make it better if you just add this in there. And it's a good way to share that with, your own community, whether it's in your guild or however you're doing it. But if you're not on a guild and you're just, doing things Han Solo style, then maybe, Word document it up and keep them there. They are stored on the server, but there's been times where... I wanted a macro from my mage to use on another character, for example, my polymorph macro, and I was like, man, I really want my polymorph macro for this other class that, is not a mage, but they still have a crowd control, and I want it to work exactly the same, and then, I had to alt over to the mage and copy it and alt back over.
If you don't have it on that main page, yep.
Right.
Yeah, you just put it on. When I do that, I just put it on the general page. Like, I have a CC macro that I keep on my general page that I put to each individual character's own pages, and then modify it accordingly.
Right.
Well, there you go.
I am slowly running out of room on my general macro thing.
I need to look through mine again. I know a bunch of them are not general at all. They're ones that I just didn't put them in the right place, but yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that I was noticing here, I think when we were originally talking about binding macros together that were similar, was, for example, with the Shadow Priest, now that some of these skills do not pop you out of shadow form, you could share renew with Shadow Word Pain, because those are, one's a mild hot and one's a mild dot, and, I think that was the initial way that some of us were looking at it. But what he's saying here is that he takes several DPS skills and puts them all in the same key or the same macro, and then uses modifiers depending on what he wants. So this is a kind of a unique way of doing it. I think it could really save you a lot of
right. Well, there was several ways we were discussing it. One way was, like you said, conserving button space with a multifunction macro, which works especially well with a mouse over, because if you're moused over an enemy, that button, hotkey, whatever, if you will, mm-hmm. mouse button, whatever, becomes Shadow Word Pain. If you mouse over a friendly target, it becomes Renew. We also talked about keeping similar spells consistent across multiple characters. So let's say your fireball is on the same keybind, number 4 or 5 or whatever it's on, as your warlock's shadow bolt, as your priest's whatever. I hate priests.
Mind flayer, yeah.
But
your filler spell or your AOE spell, or just keeping those all in the same spot.
Right, so you've got keep a consistency within the same macro with multi-functions, you've got keep a consistency across multiple characters on the same keybinds, and I could have swore there was a third one in my brain, and it ran away. I can't remember now. all right, well, let's move on. So, Trax commented on thetrainingdummies.com, commented on our post, and replied to us with an answer to one of our questions about quick heroic tactics. And he gave us a link to the MMO Melting Pot. If you look at episode 15 on thetrainingdummies.com and look at the comments, you'll see the link to it there. And I'd looked at these, and most of these are pretty legit. Just to test one out, we talked earlier in the What Were We Doing This Week, and Hen said he did his first heroic. His first heroic was Skullamance. And one of the things in Skullamance that is really annoying to me is her name? Jaundice. Jaundice. Okay, so yellow. Yeah. Jaundice. When Jaundice splits into multiple things, what one do you kill? And I've heard people say, oh, it's the one with a slightly different color. And you've heard it before on Training Dummies. I'm slightly colorblind, and people give me crap about it. And because of a certain incident
there's a pretty big difference between red and blue. And colors
and shapes, too. We know you have trouble with colors and shapes, too.
Yellow star.
You know, I used to be pretty good at that little toy I had when I was 5 that was red and blue, and it had the little things that you could stick in from the outside, and then you pulled it open and all the pieces would fall back out. I used to be pretty good at that. I don't know what happened. Anyway, so on this particular link, like I said, I've done all the heroics several times, at least twice each, if not more on some. So one of the ones that frustrated me was Jaundice. And so I looked at this guide and it said, hey, just hit her up with a raid icon marker. And when she does the split phase, and there's 20 of them in the room, just attack the one that has the marker and you're good to go. So I read that, and I wasn't in this group, but Hand and some other guildies were in there, Taz and Avi and Rob and who else?
Chariot was there too. Chariot.
Yeah, oh yeah, Chariot. Hen's wife. So, yep. I told them to try it out. They tried it out, and it did not work.
Nope.
So, no, sir. That's a bummer. So now we're back to square one. I still think that's a stupid loss. I really wish that would have worked, because then I would not have cared. So if
the only
you
good
know
thing
the trick...
It's insanely easy, though, so it's not a big deal. But yeah, it would be nice to know.
Yeah, it's easy. Yeah, you know, I've looked for several things. So the one person said something's a little different color. I swear it's not. There's not a single one in there that's a different color. Now, if you didn't know, when you mouse over something, it gets brighter. That will work with anything. If you mouse over another character, an NPC, they sort of highlight just slightly so that you can see that you're moused over them. I think maybe that's what this person was seeing. They targeted something and said, oh, look, it's brighter. It's a different color. Who knows? So then I started looking for other things. Does it have a different name? I didn't see anything offhand. Then I started looking for, is one of them spinning the other direction, maybe? I can't figure it out. I do not know what the deal is. I'm sure maybe I should look a little harder and listen to our own instructions, as in Google it. But this particular quick guide, which is like a one or two sentence guides to all the five-man dungeons, has pretty good info for everything else. It failed on Jandis, and so far that's the only thing I can think of that it hasn't worked on yet. But otherwise, it's a pretty good source. So if you want to check out these super, super quick guides, it even has copy and pastable text fields so you can copy it real quick if you want, so that you can paste it in-game to your group. Check out thetrainingdummies.com, look at episode 15, check out the comments from Trax. So thank you, Trax. That was pretty good.
We also have another comment here on that same episode from Elamari, and he says, just a reminder for people leveling your professions, the Darkmoon Fair is back in town, and it is a quick, cheap, and easy way to gain 5 levels to all of your professions. Mm-hmm. Also, the cooking and fishing dailies in Stormwind or Orgrimmar still reward 1 skill point for completing them. Elamari, and I'm so glad he posted this when he did, because as soon as he did, I headed over to Darkmoon Fair and got 5 points on my engineering, so I don't need quite as many trillion bars to hit 600. I'm 590 right now, and I think two things I could make, and I need, 18 trillion bars right now, so I just need to go farm them. I just haven't got around to it yet.
18 but, trillion is a lot, dude.
It is a lot.
That's more than 18 billion.
No. Oh. Exactly.
Oh, man. It's a good thing those nodes are spawning like crazy.
Yeah, but this was a great tip.
Yeah, I've been using that actually for a long time. I used that to get through some of those last stretch grinds at level 85 on some of my guys to get like the tailoring and enchanting and stuff. You know, that helped out going and picking up those 5 points. So, and I believe it's for everything, cooking, fishing, anything. Yep, I'm pretty sure archaeology too. So if you're looking to just kind of get a little bit of a boost there, then that's definitely a way to do it.
All right, well, take it away, Han. Get the next one.
All right, this one was from Facebook. So we actually had a good comment on Facebook. Awesome. Brett says he listened to the last podcast, loved it, but says you were sort of incorrect about the Scroll of Wisdom one-a-day crafting. There is a quest once you hit 90 to do a commissioned painting in Jade Forest. It's repeatable, but costs 10 Starlight Ink and 5 Spirits of Harmony. It's not a daily quest, it's a regular, and you can do it as many times as you want, but the mat cost is astronomical with these Spirits of Harmony.
Especially since you can't buy them.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit earlier. This sounds like it's going to be something that maybe once things die down, once those moats become BOE or BOA, or, you know, once things change and you have a lot of those to burn now, you don't really need them for the leveling or for the recipes initially, maybe this would be something you could do with them. But I don't think initially, now at the beginning of an expansion, that's a good way to spend your motes or spirits, because there's things that are far more beneficial at this point.
Oh yeah, people are making the Dark Moon cards. Those take Spirits of Harmony. Another thing that I was incorrect about on Inscription in particular was you don't bottom out with nothing left but Scroll of Wisdoms. I was incorrect. I said that incorrectly. Have other glyphs that you can make to crank you up to level 600 if you really want to, and they're really cheap to make. I mean, I have yet to see a profession that is really unfair in what it takes to max out so far. But
some of them take more than others. You know, I think cooking seems to be one that's going to take a little more effort than the others, but all of them so far
if you put in any effort at all, you're maxed out.
On that note, with the way to avoid the daily profession quest thing, I know tailoring also has a similar thing. Like, you know, every expansion, tailors have a special cloth that they can make. Dreamweave, right. Yep. I think, was the last expansion, and the Shadow Cloth back in Wrath and all that stuff, that had a cooldown on how often you could make it. Tailors also have a thing where you can burn Spirits of Harmony, and you can make those cloth as many times as you want. So there's probably other ones that can do it too. I'm not sure, but I know for a fact tailoring has that, and obviously
jewel crafting has
crafting as well,
where you can learn one of the Pandarian recipes or one of the Pandarian jewel cuts, but it costs like three of the spirits. So,
but it doesn't burn your daily cooldown. But even still, with this one that he mentions, five Spirits of Harmony. The way I'm going right now, this is a 2.5 week cooldown. Because I've been playing 2.5 weeks and I have 48 right now, so I can't even do this yet. So
it's
a lot more than a 1 day cooldown that I'm worrying about. This would be a 2.5 week cooldown for me.
Yeah, those darn Spirits of Harmony, man. I'm it's weird because they're not even buying on account. And if I want to say, you know, maybe this will become more useful later on down the line when, you know, 5.2 comes out or 5.3 and you've got nothing left to spin Spirits of Harmony on, what are you going to do with them? Okay, let's make extra cloth or extra scrolls of wisdom or extra gems,
right,
or what have you. But it would be super cool if by that time, hopefully before then, I would love it. We're not promising anything here at the Training Dummies, but we can definitely say that we would love it if Spirits of Harmony were buying on account, because I have so many on Hoof It that I have absolutely no use for, because apparently you can't use them in enchanting. At least I can't yet. There's not a single recipe that uses them. I've seen, all of the recipes that I can purchase from reputation vendors is all bought with gold, not Spirits of Harmony. So I don't know. I don't know what I can do with them on Hoof It. I've got like 15 of them on Hoof It now.
If you're 15. Just sitting on them and you don't care and you don't need them and you don't want them and you really, like I said, you don't just flat out don't care, the best way to make money off of those right now is there's a little vendor right outside of your main town. You can trade those in, and you can actually trade them in for any current level mats, you know, whether it's the cloth or whatever.
But there's one specifically
for Golden Lotus.
Yeah. Yep.
That you can pick up, and if you just don't care about those spirits, one spirit will buy you, I believe, 3 Golden Lotus. And those are going for a pretty good penny on the auction house. So if you're wanting to make some quick cash that way and you just don't care about the harmonies at all, that's probably your best bet.
Was it 3 Golden Lotus?
One spirit will get you 3 Golden Lotus.
Even if was only 1 Golden Lotus, even if it was just 1-to-1, it would still be the best bet. Because, you know, you get a stack of herbs or a stack of leather.
Or cloth.
That's nothing. That's absolutely squat. But the Golden Lotus so far, I mean, it's still selling for a pretty solid, you know, 450 to 550 gold that I've seen.
Yeah, and those are going to be the way to go for a while, just because I think they are harder to come by. So I'd still say hang on to them, keep them. You know, they will at some point be valuable. I don't know, maybe not. It just depends on how you want to play your game. If you don't even have a professions leveled up, or you don't care,
I'm sitting on like 40 Golden Lotus right now because I'm picking them like weeds, and I've sold probably 20.
Jeez, man.
And I am not buying them with Spirits of Harmony.
Yeah, that was just saying. If you don't care, then that's something that you can do with them.
So. Yeah, I'm holding on. I am I am keeping my fingers crossed that they will be BOA soon, or at least by the next major content patch, and then I will have plenty for extra goodies on my alts. But, you know, it might be for naught, and I could have banked on them or something. But who knows? We'll see. They're useless to me almost anyway, one way or another. So I'm going to hold on to them for now. Well, did we ask anything on Facebook this week? Or on Twitter?
We asked if anybody had any questions. But
yeah, we got no responses.
Everybody's just today. Everybody's so immersed right now.
Yeah, it's...
Well, even us, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. We are highly distracted, and we apologize, but we know that you are distracted with us, and we are quote-unquote suffering with you on this.
Right.
So I think, okay, let's go ahead and move on to our main topic discussion, and that is going to be heroics. Now, as we know, Hen just hit 80 yesterday.
90.
His... 90. Wow. Going back in time. Jeez, where's my DeLorean? So, you just hit 90 yesterday. Your wife just hit 90 today. We almost immediately, you were able to queue for a heroic.
Within minutes. Yep.
Within minutes. Now, tell me, I know people were concerned about, you know, there's a lot of stuff getting locked out, and it's, you know, you can't buy the JB gear, so the JP gear. So they hotfixed that so you can buy JP gear so you can get into heroics. Now, I'm trying to think back here. You know, in Cataclysm, it was going from the normal modes to heroic, you had to be kind of careful, and you did have to gear up some of that normal modes. I mean, right out the gate. Obviously, later on down the road, you could jump over a lot of stuff. But when it first came out, you still had to play it safe. You had to gear up, jump into the heroics. You haven't even done these on a main to do them on an alt to skip past all the stuff. You are on your main. You jump straight into heroics minutes after your wife hits 90 and a day after you hit 90 and you hadn't done one yet. And you do a heroic.
Yeah, well, we could have done we could have done it immediately. So
now, I would have volunteered to tank this, but I thought it would be a better opportunity for our other tank to go ahead and tank it because he has not been running as many heroics as I have. So I can't actually benefit from any gear anymore from heroics, and he still needs to build his set. So, you know, let's get him in there.
Yes,
and I know he was a little hesitant to go. You know, he's like, I've only got item level 432, so I can't queue for them. And, by the way, they dropped the item level from 440 to 435 to use the random dungeon finder. So it's even easier to get into it now. And that is an indication. You look at that, and, you know, we had our 432 tank who equipped some DPS gear to Jimmy the Q, and
he was still wearing Dragon Soul gear.
He had some Dragon Soul gear, shoulders and weapon. And how did it go? Tell me how that went.
It went good. I went in with 438 on my healing set, and it went well. We wiped once, but we got in the student room. We were going for one of the tomes, and we got three groups. So there was nothing we could do there. We were overwhelmed. And on Rattlegore as well, I think, Rob, your bone shield
you
fell off.
You wiped on Rattlegore?
You got hit. No, we didn't wipe. Rob died. And because your bone shield fell off and you got hit right away, I think. So it was kind of unfortunate, but... our tank Taz, he died at like 1%. Like I had burned all my mana. I wasn't conserving as much as I should have, but it seemed like he was taking a lot of heavy damage as well. But we didn't wipe. You know, he died at 1%, but there was still myself was still full health, and Chariot and Navy both still had full health, and it wasn't much to knock him down the rest of the way. So, But those are the only two hiccups we really had. Other than that, it was a smooth run. It went great.
Yeah. So, anybody out there, if you have been nervous about testing the waters with heroics, you know, you've gone into normal mode and maybe you goofed something up on normal mode and you're a little bit skeptical to go into heroics, I can vouch that they're almost the same difficulty. This is nothing like any normal mode to heroic mode that you have ever experienced before. This right, is not like yeah. Burning Crusade, where going from normal to heroic was a pretty darn big deal. Not like Cataclysm, where, you know, you're going into Halls of Origination and getting your face smashed in the first time you were in there, you know, with your crappy gear.
333.
Right, that's right. 333.
Yeah.
I remember seeing either a blue post about this or maybe it something in there that was saying that heroics now are just level 90 dungeons. And I know Avi reiterated this when we were talking earlier in Guild. I remember seeing a blue post about that, where they're not going to be really a... Because when you hit 90, there is no normal mode level 90 Skullomance. You know, there's only the, you know, level 40 or 50 version or whatever. You know, there's no level 90 normal mode of any of the new stuff that Starlight unlocks when you... Yeah. But I mean the Pandaria ones, like the Gate of the Setting Sun, the Siege.
Oh, the Brewery, yeah.
You know, those...
All the other ones that open up, yeah.
Well, not the
and
initial...
That was another thing. I felt like leveling up, you know, from 85 to 90, I started to get frustrated because I like dungeons, and I like getting gear out of dungeons, and I'm like, there's four dungeons, man. What in the heck? And, the minute you hit 90 and the minute you can get into those, it's like, what is there, 12? 9, 10, 12, something. There's like
that's awesome.
There's a ton, and they're super fun. They're not super hard. You can definitely pug them. You can absolutely, if you're a DPS, then you should really have no reservations at that point. Get in there and just have fun with it, you know?
Yep. So yeah, the heroics in Pandaria, they're not like the heroics your grandpa used to make. Get in there and try them.
I get the impression that Blizzard has worked really hard on raiding and in-game content, and they want people to get in there and see it. So they're making the stepping stones very accessible. Heroics is very accessible. They want you to get in there, they want you to get the gear, and they want you to be able to go into raids, LFR or guild raids or whatever it is, but they want you to see it. So this is like really, really accessible.
For me, what it feels like to me is the old model was you hit level cap, then you start doing the normal mode. I mean, if you're doing logical progression, so you hit level cap, then you start doing the normal five-mans to start getting gear so that you can do the heroic five-mans so that you can start getting gear to do the normal raid so that you can start getting gear to do the heroic raid. So they've basically consolidated normal mode five-man and heroic mode five-man into one thing. That's what it feels like to me. So when you hit 90, you're not going through two levels of content of five-man content. You hit 90... Bam, you are doing heroics to prepare for raiding. And then you get into raiding. And then you can, if you want to, I'm assuming, because we are so close to starting raiding. But, you know, the itch is really getting there, and I need some medicated raid powder to cure it.
You can borrow mine, because I've been using it. Oh. What? Speaking of... going into raiding, I know at least you and I have, and I think a couple other guildies got a chance to get in and see LFR. What did you think about that?
I forgot to get your back on at the beginning of the show, where, you know, I go into looking for raid and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm just gonna jump in. You can't guild roll on stuff anymore, so it really doesn't matter. And there wasn't a whole lot of people on that could even go into looking for raids, so I said, I'm just going to go in and check it out. and maybe get some pointers. And I tell you what, man, I think this was easier than Dragon Soul looking for raid. I got The only thing I got out of there, and I'm pretty sure you said this, the only thing I got out of there was loot. I didn't get any idea of what any mechanic was. I was trying to figure it out, but everything was so all over the map because nobody was paying attention to any mechanics. They were just, bah, bah, attack, attack, attack. The second boss was the one that actually gave us a little bit of trouble because people weren't paying attention to the mechanics. And I was trying to figure out what it was because somebody said something and to group up on somebody with the buff. And I could not figure out who in the hell had the buff, where they were, where I was supposed to group up. I mean, I was actively looking for it. Oh, and I got to say, queuing as a DPS just don't work like it used to as a druid anymore. Holy moly, I sucked. Not that my play sucked. It was just my DPS was abysmal. You know, my gear was all tanking gear. It's all reforged for tanking gear, and I was kind of cheating it because I know it's faster to queue for looking for raid as DPS than it is a tank. And I thought, you know what? I even in tanking gear, I kill the meters back in Cataclysm. So I'm going in there and I'm like, yeah, this is good. This is cool. This is cool. Man, I was struggling to keep more DPS than the healers.
Dude, it's an AoE Zerg. Zerg.
Yep. So that's when I decided, you know what? If I'm going to queue as DPS, I should probably fill out that second spec as Feral. And even if I'm in tanking gear, at least I'll have something.
Right.
Beneficial. So it was a little embarrassing, but it wasn't even a detriment. As crappy as my damage was, and as bad as it wasn't even a detriment. You know, it was silly. At a couple points, I'm like, man.
Yeah, we were discussing this before at one point, though. I don't remember if it was with you guys or someone, but or maybe it was even last night. But part of the reason it could have been such a face roll is because the people who are in LFR right now are the ones who want to get into the raiding, so they're the ones who've been pushing themselves so much, and they're the maybe more elite players, if you want to say that, so that could be why it was so much more
raiders,
of a, yeah, progression raiders, so that's why it was so much more of a face roll right now, because these are the people who know how to play their classes very, very well.
And, well, the barrier to entry for LFR is still, they bumped it down a couple of points, and it's 460, but it still sets the bar. If you haven't run the heroics, or you haven't done the dailies to get the valor and the reputation and get that gear, you know, then it's still a bit of a grind to get in there. You can't use justice gear to get into LFR. So yeah, the bar still is set where the people that are in there right now are probably people that would be a little more inclined to know what they're doing.
Well, yeah, and they could also have some raid gear because the raid has been out for a week before LFR.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, they're getting into LFR that much easier if they've got raid pieces. So they're, you know, that could be part of the reason why it was such a face roll right now. It might become more difficult as things go on, but then again, maybe it won't. Maybe that's just how it is. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see how that turns out.
I am sure in a few months from now, the trolls will start reappearing and intentionally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know if there's a mechanic in there that works like Spine of Deathwing, but if there is, I can guarantee you in 6 months, someone's going to say, let's mess this up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it only did two things for me, and I think we've covered these, but I'll just say it again. It got me a couple pieces of gear. I used my lucky charms that I had been collecting on the extra loot roll.
And I did too. That's pretty cool.
Yep. And again, this goes to what I was saying a minute ago. I really feel like they're kind of doing a little bit of gimmies right now, so that you get that taste in your mouth and you want to go and do it and you want to go and raid. So I did get a little bit of gear, and it just really all it did was spike my desire to get in there and get back into our guild raid again. So I cannot wait. I am really, really excited.
And if you don't know what your lucky charms are,
my lucky
if
charms.
You're doing dailies, a lot of these dailies are giving a blue item called Lesser Something of Something.
Lesser Charm of Good Fortune.
Yeah, there it
there
is.
There you go. And what happens is when you hit 90 at the shrine of the
Two Moons.
Setting Suns. Two Moons.
Two something somethings.
Awesome.
This is going to kill me, this whole expansion. I'm sure of it. Every zone is a something of a number or something else. And
it's called the Shrine of Two.
There's the show title right there.
The Shrine of Two.
So once you hit 90, there's a guy there that once a week you can turn in 90 of these lesser tokens of good fortune for three elder charms of good fortune or something like that.
Yep.
And
you can only do it once a week?
Well, you can only do the turn-in once a week, but you get three tokens. Okay, so if you as long as you keep turning them every week, oh, and this is the thing, you can only store a maximum of 10 elder tokens at a time. But you can still stockpile the charms of lesser good fortune. So even if you max out your 10, right? And you're like, man, I can't turn any more in because I maxed out at 10 and our guild's not going to be raiding for a couple weeks. Keep your lesser charms. You know, put them in your bank if you have to. They stack up to 180 or something like that. So just stockpile them in your bank if you have to. That way, when you've hit Exalted with all of your reputations and you don't want to do dailies ever again, you still have all these lesser charms that once a week you could keep turning in for the three elder tokens. Now how this works when you're in looking for raid, or even if you join on the world bosses, like I did the Shaw of Anger, I know you did too, Rob. Yep. When you kill the Shaw of Anger and you get the auto loot in your bags that says you got the angry bag what happens is whenever the loot goes into your bags, because that's how the world bosses work and that's how looking for raid works, is the loot from the boss, if there's any loot, you know, you either get money or you get loot. And it's basically doing the same thing as if you were rolling against other people. You know, you either got loot or you didn't. Except this time, if you don't get loot, you get money instead. So you're either going to get a bag with money in it or a bag with loot in it. What happens when this happens, another window pops up if you have these elder tokens. And it says, would you like to use an elder token for another chance at some loot? And you either, you basically click the gold coin to use it, or you click cancel to not use it if you want to save it for something else. And then what it does is it basically does the exact same action that happened when the boss died. A random thing happens, you see a pop-up, and it's like a little slot machine, kind of. You know, where
yeah,
it's got it like...
Is. Yep, where it's got scrolling window.
Cool.
Yeah, like loot or bag of money. And sometimes it'll land on loot, and bam, you know, you get a piece of loot. And sometimes you just get more money. It's not guaranteed, but it just means you get an extra chance. It's like having it's like almost like killing that boss twice, because you get two chances at a shot for loot. Pretty cool. And the great thing, okay, the world bosses, this is really cool. You can't ninja anything off the world bosses. For example, the black cloud serpent dragon, the really slick, awesome looking black and white cloud serpent, drops off the Shaw of Anger in Kunlai Summit.
Yeah.
Obviously, you have to have Cloud Serpent Riding to use it, but you can still get the mount. The mount doesn't drop off of the boss. The mount is a random drop in the bag that you receive automatically once the boss
That's
is killed.
Cool.
So there's no more...
That's
at least
really cool. Yep.
Pretty sure there's no more mount ninja-ing. It's just all... luck entirely.
Yeah, so if you group up like we did, like I'm sure you did, if you group up, it's going to most likely be a huge group of strangers, and you're not going to have that one master looter that's there, and he's not going to give you the stuff that you really wanted because he wants to give it to a guildie. It's either going to go in your bag or it's not going to go. It takes that that out of the equation. So,
all right. Well, we are getting pretty dang close to the end of this show, so I'm pretty sure right now we need to do one of these.
All right, we got some head love, and as always, we'll start with the horror release tonight. Yes, it's great seeing everyone back in. We're getting more and more 90s all the time. I'm really looking forward to running a whole bunch of heroics in Guild this weekend with the Horderlies, and even more so, looking forward to raiding with all you guys here coming up real quick. So, yes, lots and lots of head love to you guys.
And I've got a tough job ahead of me because, you know, being a raid leader and GM, I'm going to have to, you know, obviously I'm going to use who we have available at first to even start raiding. And, you know, there's going to be people that are behind either weeks or a month or so. And, that's going to be a challenge for me to keep everybody happy. And, I'm not looking forward to that, but, hopefully we have lots of, people that will, you know, volunteer for subbing in and out. Our loot system is very, very forgiving and beneficial for people that end up, you know, volunteering to, you know, stay online and be a sub in, because they still rank up on priority as other people win gear. They move up in priority as well, so that when they finally do get in a dungeon, that, you know, they actually have a really good shot at getting loot, because they've been on standby. So, you know, there's a lot of good things about that. So it's going to be a challenge, but I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that was a spinoff. That wasn't a shout out, but still, shout out to all of our level 90 raiders and all of our guildies that make logging in a pleasure, because it's great having people log in. So I'm going to give our shout out to Hearthcast, Root and Freckle-Faced over at Hearthcast.com for the casual World of Warcraft players. All of our listeners on Twitter and Facebook as well. And again, especially those that comment back on us. Once again, I know we have a 5-star review out there on iTunes. We can't read it this week because none of us can see it. For whatever reason, it's... every single review has disappeared, and some of our episodes seem to be missing.
They are gone.
Something is up with iTunes. Not quite sure. And, Rob, you get the next one.
I'm going to throw in a couple here. I did notice that the Janover, something suggestive. When she was on her hiatus, she did a little blog entry and was recommending for people to check us out if they were looking for a void to fill. So that was super cool, Jan. We appreciate that. That's awesome. And last night, we had the pleasure of guesting with Kevin and Apsana over at the Dark Moon Herald. So special shout out to those guys. We gave them an awful lot of content to edit. We destroyed their dunk tank trivia. It was a wreck. I don't know who wrote those questions.
I think it destroyed us.
Yeah, right.
So bad.
So we'll see. We'll see how pro Kevin and the other folks over there are with their editing, to see if they can make us sound not so horrible. But check that out when it comes out for sure. We had a blast over there with them. That was super cool, super fun time. We love those guys over at the DarkMoonHerald.com. Well, I believe that about does it for episode number 16 of The Training Dummies. Be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com. If you'd like to contact any of us or the show, all of our information is there. And we really encourage you to leave comments on the episodes. We always try to interact and get back with you guys. It's a kind of a cool community we're developing over there. You can also like us at facebook.com/thetrainingdummies. Follow us on Twitter at trainingdummies. And subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email or record an MP3 and send it to us at theshow@thetrainingdummies.com.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo!